again. Can you find yourself? All the life in you yet? The immaculate brightness. Tilt your head. You'd be hard pushed to forget this cut of morning. A moment of stillness and a petal harvest. Sky up the walls and around us. Dressed in humble colours, but with cloth to spare. Can you name it, this strength, as more of the world meets the day? The sense it makes. How many pairs of eyes have something to say? Tall as midnight and still climbing. There is skill in limbs lost to dance. There is a kind of beautiful in your walk. Piano in the footsteps. Poise in your outline. Balance in your hand. Don't worry about loud or sweeter, the news or the ache. How many times were you promised a future? Birds have always flown and come back. Yours is a dream in wet paint, yet to dry. Its colours will catch an earnest eye.
Welcome to Evolution Revolution with DJ Damaru. This is published or broadcasted live from, I saw Publius' name in the chat. I was like, publish? No. Broadcast live from Kootenay Lake. This is in British Columbia, Canada. And this radio is hosted on sdf.org, which is a public Unix system, Pubnix, as they call them. It's machines hosted somewhere and a bunch of geeks keeping up and running. Thank you, Raxu, for the checking of sound. I'm a little in a weird, my coffee is blocking my microphone. And there's all these wires. All right. All right. That's better. Okay. SDF.org, we are chatting on a chat tool called Come if you want to come and chat with us. You gotta create an account with SDF and come to the chat room there. And right now, people are talking about politics and royal life and all of the above, I ask the question, what is a Tory? In UK, the conservatory, the conservator, the... Anyway, I'm not very versed. I'm totally not versed in politics, personally. Good night, cake. Yeah, some people are quite a lot more knowledgeable about that. But in any case, I focus on the thing I like to do. Like, I finally sent my book to somebody to help me edit it. An editor? I don't know the words anymore because I'm a publisher and, yeah, I need editors to edit my books. So that's out, and hopefully by Christmas there will be a printed book and or a digital book. And this book is called The Elements of Meditation. And all the books now have a subtitle, so I'm finalizing the subtitle as A Pragmatic Approach to a... Yeah. Pragmatic approach to what? To meditation, but I don't want to have meditation in the subtitle, so I'll have to see what's the best subtitle I can say. This book has been in the making for many years. It doesn't mean that it's going to be a great book. It just means that it took me a very long time to write that book. It started as a teaching workshop. So I was teaching a workshop called Create Your Own Meditation. And then from there, I wrote a, I think, I can't remember, 5,000 word article, and the person who was helping me publish blog posts back in the days, she was saying, oh, you should make a series of blog posts. And I was like, no, I don't want to write more about this. And so I started writing about the, I called it the Meditation for Hacker at the beginning. That was my first title. And you guys listen to me sometime, you might have heard many times this title. I think last year I also made a series of 10 shows about the 10 elements of meditation. And they changed since then, of course. As I'm learning more about meditation, the book itself keeps on changing, but at one point, I mean, it's going to change my whole, through my whole life. So I'm deciding that now is the time to just release it. And it's not a big book or anything like that. And might as well just have it out there and have a second edition or a third edition as needed. I was also thinking to have it almost as a open source document so that it's not about, and it's, that's the thing, it's not about me or anything like that. It's about creating a easy to understand meditation, not a technique itself, but kind of blowing apart what meditation is and then observing all the different elements of the meditation. And I thought that talking about it is always a good way for me to processing. What I did is I divided meditation into 10 elements. So anything I do in meditation, so the what I do with the body, the mind, the breath, and you know, where do you sit, what do you sit on, what do you wear, what do you consume, and all these things, I try to see how to divide it in 10 elements. Through the years, I was inspired as well of the, I think it's called The Music Teacher. It's a very good book about the musician. He's a bassist, and he has an encounter with somebody, a music teacher, who looked more like a reincarnated yogi or something like that. But in any case, now, who created a bit of this kind of, let's divide music in, you know, 10 elements or something like that so that you can make more sense of it. So these division of the meditation technique, it's not so much of a that's the rule, but that's how I've compartmentalized it in a way that it makes it simpler to understand. Or the idea is to understand how meditation works so that you can learn better with different meditation technique, but also as a goal to create your own meditation technique. So I thought I'd pass the next few shows just reviewing these. I've made 10 elements of meditation that I explain in the book, but also made 25 verses that surrounds these 10 meditation elements. Because understanding meditation is one thing, the technique itself, but then what's surrounding it? What is meditation, for example? Where do you go with meditation? And why do you meditate? So, let's move into music. Today, I'm playing a lot of music from last week. I'm the Hairhead and the Lord of the Isles and Ellen Renton, two albums that I've listened a few times over the week. And you heard some of it last week, but yeah, I just really like how they both work together. And so we're gonna rediscover one more time how they sound. And now we're moving to Airhead with Moon Rock. Thank you. This is Airhead with Moonrock, their album called Lightness. I really like their minimalism and electronic vibe, reminding me a little bit of the early 2000 techno, glitchy breakbeat, drum and bass inspired, but not too drum and bassy. You're listening to DJ Damaru Evolution Revolution. This is my 122nd live show from Kootenay Lake here on sdf.org, where geeking out is part of the deal. Yeah, well, Google is rolling out their passkey, where they will require you to have some sort of a device to make sure that you are you and that you're nobody else. And I'm not sure how long it will take until they force you to have some sort of a device that can do a facial recognition or a thumbprint or something like that. The idea is to make password a lot easier, as if we really needed more technology to, I don't know, make a secure internet. It's been really easy to SSH into my accounts here on SDF without any password for the last 20 years. And now Google is trying to revolutionize passwordless login by having more devices that are equipped with some devices that can approve or attest that you are you. I like that, because I'll have to get off the Google bandwagon. I like when they make system more abusive so that I can happily step out of them by having a good reason not to use Google product anymore. So if ever YouTube would block me and say you need to log in or you need to pay if you want to do anything on YouTube, I would gladly never use YouTube again, but they're still letting me in. So I'm still looking at YouTube once in a while. But if Google were to enforce this passkey technology, which would be great, then I would need to tell most of my client that do not use my Gmail account anymore, because they're crazy. But that's it for the news. That's the only news I have for you today. I wish I look more into what's happening in the different things that I'm following, the different thread I'm following here and there. But I don't. I don't have a lot to share. The most exciting, it's a Gopher user who started a new, let me see here. Yeah, Cat is a, well, kind of known Gopher user. I don't know why. I've followed him around from his hacker towns to Merveille.town, and now he's starting Cat Gopher Space. It's really the most visually exciting Gopher Space I've seen. Where can you find the Gopher? Let me check here. There we go. Boat baby. So if you go for boat, B-A-U-D dot baby, boat baby, you'll get to Cat's vlog. And yeah, visually striking. You probably need, I don't know what, I use Fetch for looking at Gopher. And Kat started the Gopher server or site Embryonic Church. And defined the embryonic church as defined, I dug deep into the swamp of my life and dredge up a seed that will hopefully blossom into something beautiful. Yeah, so let's define well what embryonic church is. It's an interesting site. The embryonic church, a minimal practice for survival in a dystopian world, a simple religion for the first pilgrim of the internet. Both this page and philosophy are a work in progress and open to feedback. So visually striking gopher site with symbolism and a pantheon of Trinity there and some practices of the esoteric pragmatic, the animist Kaizen and Oregon. And it's more of a podcast at this point. And although the site seems to be pointing toward some sort of a system or philosophy and things like that, the podcast itself is quite a raw account of Kat's day-to-day struggle with life, drug, and addiction, and life in the state, and very raw. Interesting. I got myself to be listening to most of his podcasts so far. it was a little surprising, as it was a little, very raw, very raw complaint of somebody's not super healthy life right now. And I was like, oh, I wonder how long I'll last listening to that. But I'm still listening. I invite you to check out the Gopher site if it's only for the aesthetic of it, and to go further deeper into into the Gopher space. All right, so that's really all for news now. That's pretty much all I can see that is interesting, I think. So, meditation for hacker. Now it's called Elements of Meditation, and then a semicolon or a comma or colon. The pragmatic approach to a timeless technique or something like that. I don't know about this subtitle yet. So I did create 10 elements of meditation to help understand what meditation, like what are the elements of meditation, so that people can learn meditation in an easier way. What I found is by going to different school of meditation, I went to yogic, Buddhist, Taoist, different type of Buddhism, Pure Land Buddhism, Mahayana or Tantra Buddhism, Zen Buddhism, just to say it, name a few. I went to the, I can't remember now, but I went to so pretty much everything I saw I could put my hands on. I was like, okay, let's try that. Oh, great, they're doing this, let's try that. So brought me to be dancing with whirling dervishes or visualizing and meditating and doing martial art and simple breathing technique that were applied for meditation to, I've, as a kid going to church, but with not having parents that were religious. So it was my own exploration. And from dream technique to out of body experience to music as meditation to creativity as meditation, all of the above. I've experimented with that. So I'm not I've studied with the great master on top of a mountain for 30 years in a cave. This is my book type of thing. It's more of a, hey, I'm a hacker and I've studied meditation with many people, and here's my observation of how meditation could be explained in an easier way, because I see that a lot of people, they dislike meditation just because that's their experience of it. And it's, oh, meditation is not for me. And I think meditation, well, it's for everyone, and everyone can find their own way of meditating, and that there should be a bit of a freedom about how meditation is taught. And I think meditation should be taught in school at a very young age so that everyone can have access to that at an early age, and then they can create their own meditation technique as they grow up. So meditation shouldn't be connected to any religion. Well, I mean, religion can teach meditation. There's no problem with that. But that if someone wants to learn meditation, they shouldn't need to do that through a religious group or a spiritual group or any group. But it should just be a technique like flossing. You know, you should learn flossing, and here's meditation kind of next to it. It shouldn't be sacrilegious to mess around with meditation. So that's my take on liberating meditation from what it is, because often in a school of meditation, they teach you one way and they're like, this is the way to meditate, and don't play with that, don't change it, don't. Some people say even it's dangerous to explore your own meditation, and I'm like, what? So that's the spiel of why I'm writing that book, just so that it's more accessible. And for my own perspective, from this hacker's position, I like to understand things at a greater level and then kind of jumped into it, and not just like, this is the only way to do something, and then just kind of learn from that. I don't know if it makes sense, but I like to take things apart and then understand how they work. And that's what I'm doing with meditation for that. I'm taking meditation apart so it's easier for me to understand it. And that was my own mental hacker process toward meditation. And now I just write a book about it. And I thought that in the next few radio show, I can just go through the book. And I made 10 elements of meditation within the 25 verses. And each verse is, could be explained. To talk about it also helps me just to figure things out. So the book itself, it started as an article, a workshop, and then it became very big. And then it became small again. At first, I was just writing and writing and writing hundreds of thousands of words. And then I realized, you know, this is not going anywhere. And I would not enjoy reading that book. I don't like books that are just repeating itself multiple times in different ways. And I wanted to have something as concise and useful for me anyway as possible. Inspired by books like The Little Black Book of Design, or books like, The Tao Te King, or books that are very shorter in their number of words. I've diminished this hundreds of thousands of words back to a very small amount of words right now. I can't remember the total, but I have the 10 elements, the 25 verses. Every verse has one or two pages of explanation per verse. So we have about 40 pages there. And I'll have to get the right numbers. It's still in process of being edited now. And so it's not finalized. But the goal is to have it published pretty soon. Let's get back into Lord of the Isle and Ellen Renton. Let the callers flood in. Thank you.
This is Lord of the Isles and Ellen Renton. Let the caller flood in. My Noise is Nothing. My Noise is Nothing is the name of the album. You can find them in bleep.com. Bleep has become, I think, one of the most, well, pretty the only place where I buy music these days, with Bandcamp being bought and bought again. They've introduced subscription. Even if they still sell music like usual, the whole subscription thing really got me worried or annoyed by Bandcamp, and I kind of ditched Bandcamp mentally. Not like never will buy again, but just kind of like, not sure. I like them anymore. Bleep.com. I don't know why I like Bleep. They're just very well curated. They're just always the same, simple, DRM-free music I can download. They keep my library clean, and if I change computer or get a new device, I just go back to Bleep, log in, get my music, and be done with this whole charade of DRM or whatever, whatnot. Bandcamp is actually quite good, but I don't know. For some reason, being bought by this game company, and now they've been pushed to another company, and then bringing these subscription bays, and then they have live shows. I don't know. I can't follow. My old brain can't deal with that. Too many change. Let's keep it the way it was. Anyway, that's my rant for Bandcamp. Sorry. Bleep.com. It's a nice place to be. I hope one day they'll sponsor me. This is DJ Damaru, Evolution Revolution. My high of caffeine is kicking in, as you can hear. And I'm talking about my to-be-released book, The Lament of Meditation. And I've been talking about what all the construction of the book. There are 25 verses that talks about meditation. Within these 25 verses, there are 10 verses that are the elements of meditation. Let me read these verses right now. And I thought for the next few weeks, I'll be going through the different verses and just talking about the different parts. Here are the 25 verses of the element of meditation. Verse 1, everything is meditation. Verse 2, you can use any action or event as a meditation. Verse 3, meditation can be an action, a state, or the process to get to a state. Verse 4, there are 10 elements of meditation. Verse 5, the first element, what are you doing with your body? Verse 6, the second element, how to use your mind. Verse 7, the third element, what are you doing with your breath? Verse 8, the fourth element, how to use your senses. Verse 9, the fifth element, how to use your emotion. I'm just going to stop with the verse and the elements here. How do you use your voice? What do you consume? What is your setup and surrounding? What are the tools and clothing? And what do you create? Now, verse 15, you can use any of these elements. Verse 16, there are as many meditation techniques as there are meditator. Verse 17, there are three phases in meditation, the opening, the practice, and the closing. Verse 18, you can practice meditation in three states, awaken, asleep, and dreaming. Verse 19, meditation without reflection is like gardening without watering. Verse 20, meditation can transform anything, you have to choose. Verse 21, having a destination in mind will help you measure your progress. Verse 22, awareness is the only prerequisite to meditation. Verse 23, awareness can be forced or natural. Verse 24, meditation will change reality. Verse 25, you decide how far to go. So these are the 25 verses and the 10 elements of the elements of meditation. And I wanted to synthesize all that I've written about meditation into a simple system, if I can call that. Now that might change. There might be a little less verse. There is a verse here that meditation can transform anything you have to choose. And then verse 24, meditation will change reality. And 25, you decide how far you go. So that verse 19 might go, because I feel there's a bit of a repetition there, although that might be needed. Anyway, so it might become 24 verse. I'm still like fine-tuning as we go. I've been fine-tuning for, I think, over 10 years now. So we'll see where it goes. So the first verse, the two first verse, they work a little bit together. So in a lot of spiritual text, the first verse is always very powerful, and it's often said that if you understand really what the first verse means, you don't need to read the rest of the text. Now, that's debatable. Some people said, no, the first verse is often just to present itself as what we're going to talk about. But I like this idea. For example, in the Yoga Sutra of Patanjali, the first verse is now is the explanation of yoga, or here the presentation of yoga. And often it's dismissed as kind of just an introductory phrase that doesn't have any value in the teaching, really. That is just like, hey, this is what is happening. Yet other teacher will say, no, this is actually the most important verse of all the text. And I tend to believe more of that, because if somebody went all this way to create as little as possible text, very condensed text, I don't think they would spend the first verse as just being like, hey, this is what I'm going to say. And so that's my take on it. So I wanted my first verse to be, if you get that, then that's all really there is needed to be. So the first verse is everything is meditation. And I like to compare it to the second verse that says you can use any actions or events as a meditation. So the first verse says everything is meditation and not everything is a meditation. And the idea behind it is that meditation as a state or samadhi or one of the goal of meditation is to dissolve within this, what is called consciousness or the goddess or Maya or delusion, this kind of dissolution or this realization. So the state, the higher state of meditation, if you want to call it, is often called like what your natural state should be as a human, this kind of enlightened state. I don't like the word enlightened, but this kind of natural state, and that in a sense, this is our natural way of being. And the process of meditation is to discover that state. But what you discover is that it's always been there. It's always been in the background, and that meditation is really a process of deconstruction to get to that realization or that state. But then once you dissolve that, dissolve your thoughts, your ego and all that, in that state of meditation, you realize further that the whole reality is meditation. Everything is meditation. So this kind of vibration, that state is really what's kind of at the foundation of everything in the world. I know it's a bit far out to start the text with that, because I find this is not, if somebody is coming to meditation for the first time, they might it's a hard concept to grasp if you haven't felt it. So it's not like, oh yeah, I get it. I mean, intellectually you can kind of make sense of it, but it's really more of a sensation when you get into that state and go like, wow, everything is meditation. So through to other texts that might be dismissed of the first verse. This first verse can be dismissed as, oh yeah, everything is meditation. Great, let's move on. But the idea is that if you understand that everything is meditation and not everything is a meditation or everything can be a meditation, well, everything is meditation. So when you acknowledge that and experiment that, you're like, within that state, you can, you know, that sentence alone can reach enlightenment. No, but just that this is the core of the whole book. Everything is meditation. But I didn't want that book to be about like the dissolution of the self into the higher consciousness of the self in order to have to come out of the reincarnation wheel and to have an eternal life. I didn't want that type of text to be written. I don't want meditation to be kind of a spiritual practice, but more of a pragmatic practice, but still have a hint of, you know, if you continue meditation for a long time, you know, reality will meld at one point and you'll find facing that reality. So although I don't want to just be spiritual about meditation, of course, on the long run, it is an evolutionary practice. So everything is meditation is the first verse. And the second verse, you can use any action or event as a meditation. So now I'm kind of going against that first verse in a sense that, okay, kind of, let's not talk about number one and let's move to number two and say just you can use any action or event as a meditation. So kind of if number one wasn't, if you're not there within your meditation, then number two is kind of like, oh, right, you can use any action events as a meditation. That's not the final text. Anyway, I think it's you can use any action or events or thoughts as a meditation. So that's kind of the second layer of meditation. Doesn't need to be a thing where you sit down on a cushion in front of an altar or in front of a deity or incense sticks, and then that's only when you meditate. But right now I can tell myself, let's be aware, let's be in my body, let's breathe, and let's talk on the radio. That's my meditation for today. And any action can then become a meditation. So that's really to kind of explode or kind of dissolve the idea of meditation into everything can be a meditation. Of course, you have to have a bit of practice with meditation so that you can take like driving the car as a meditation. But a lot of people meditate without knowing it. And then when I start teaching, some people are like, oh yeah, I do, you know, this is what happened when I ride my bike, or this is what happened when I do a painting or when I play music. And I'm like, yes, exactly. And the idea is not to ride the bike differently or paint differently or play music differently, but to bring this awareness or this observation and process within the painting or playing music, and then to transform it as a meditation that will have a positive impact. So let's say somebody, you know, say, oh, when I play music, it feels like a meditation. I'm like, great. Well, let's make playing music a meditation. And here's are these 25 verses that can help you make that meditation kind of having a goal and having kind of a way to benefit your life. Some people are like, when I am angry, I go and play music. And I'm like, great. Well, now you've seen that this playing music, this creative aspect helps you doing this. Well, if you want, you can go further by having a reflection about it, having a goal, and having an understanding that this meditation can lead you very far and can even make you play music even better. So that understanding that anything you do can be a meditation makes it that you don't need to change how you live your life in order to start meditating, and you can just pinpoint these elements. All right, let's go back in music before the end of the show, and then we'll look at a couple more of the verses. Number 3 and 4. Let's get back to Airhead. I promise next week I'll bring new music. I don't do that very often, to kind of play exactly the same artist and album two show in a row, but yeah, I really like them, so you gotta suffer with me. This was Hairhead with the album Lightness. Let me read a quick bio there. Robert Andrews' first proper release as Airhead since 2018 signaled a change of pace as he traded heavy kicks for delicate raindrops rhythm of lightness. Drum and bass is filtered through a crisp air stripped of his usual heaviness in favor of free and feathery dance propulsion, immediately clear on the crystalline crush of breaking. Anyway, that's what it sounds like, and I really like it. Really enjoyable listening to and even dancing on. I need to discover more of Hairhead. As he seems to have multiple, yeah. When was the first with James Blake? Oh, okay. Since 2010, released about 8 album. Mount Kimby, associate James Blake, guest. Oh, I didn't know James Blake was part of Mount Kimby. making all these connections today. No. Anyway. Anyway, I'll do my homework and get back to you about all I discover. So, Elements of Meditation with DJ Namaru. I'm writing this book and now looking at the Elements of Meditations, looking at the 25 verses that creates the whole book, and everything is meditation. Being the first one, you can use any action or event as a meditation. As the second verse and the third verse, meditation can be an action, a state, or a process to get to a state. So as you take on meditation, the definition of meditation will change. And that's a reason why I don't define meditation so much in the book, like what is meditation? I had a chapter on that and I kind of leave it. I kind of removed it in this version of the book because, it's... Meditation is a word that will change as you do more of it. The more you practice meditation, the different definition it takes. So at first it's just this doing something different in your daily life, and then it becomes this state of happiness or something, and then it becomes something else, and then it becomes your natural state, and then meditation is... And then everything is meditation. So anyway, as you develop into your meditation skills, it kind of dissolves into something else. So when I say meditation can be an action, a state, or a process to get to a state. So meditation can be an action. So at first you're like, okay, I'm going to go meditate. And then you sit on a cushion and stare at a candle or something. You have a technique, an action that is what you call meditation. But really, it's not the action that makes the meditation a meditation. Because we saw that you can use any actions or event as a meditation.